Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
We got Rich Ornberger coming up in about 20 minutes to talk National Football League. Excited to get Rich on with us. He's a fun dude.
My guy.
First things first, big breaking news in the NFL earlier today, maybe the biggest story of the day. The Lions and the Jets will be coaching the Senior Bowl.
Oh, that's pretty
big. Big headline, Lions, Jets coaching the Senior Bowl. This is
always those
great.
Two teams will play hard, man. Mm-hmm. Tough nose football on the way.
I'll tell you one thing is that the Jets and Lions should really always coach the Senior Bowl. These are the two teams that year in and year out, one team from each conference needs the most help every single year? Jets and the Lions. They should be the regular, normal, every day, every year, and of course the Jets and Lions coaching the Senior Bowl players this year. They should do it. They need the most help. They want to learn the players, know what's going on. They should do it every year. The NFL should say, listen, we understand you guys are just like 10 years behind everybody else, so we're going to allow you to coach the Senior Bowl every single, whoever the coach is, doesn't matter if you fire the coach, we'll have the old coach do it, the new coach do it, whatever. We're going to let you guys coach the Senior Bowl. It's only a fair thing to help the National Football League, those two teams, Mike Harmon. Should have.
Well, it's extra reps as a coach. It doesn't necessarily have the same effect as a bowl schedule, where you get all those extra practices to work with the young guys, in case they get pressed into service, like in a national title game last night. With 9 catches and 2 catches and guys you've never seen on a field before. Hey, he's getting prominent snaps. But for both Dan Campbell and for Robert Saleh, opportunities to lead young men, get their staffs together for another couple of weeks. Why the hell not? Sure.
Yeah, of course. And look, quite honestly, this is, if you doubt for a second that these teams need it, right? There was a big graphic that came out. I think it was NFL Memes put out a graphic, and it got in my timeline like 100 times. Because NFL Memes put it out and said, we needed to make this graphic an extra 2 inches long just to include the Jets. And it was years since a franchise's last playoff berth. Okay, so you have the 14 teams that made it this year, and then you have there's 7 or 8 teams from last year that made the different teams that made it. Then you go back to there's 4 teams, and then 3 teams, and then 2 teams, and then you go down from 2016, 2015, 2014, 2013, 2010, 2011, and there's the Jets, right? All by themselves. I mean, they're so far removed from everybody. Everybody else is jumbled up in 2021, 2020, and then 1918, 17, 16, right? The last 5 years, everybody's made the playoffs. And then you got to go all the way back where you see no teams. 2015, 2014, 2013, 2012, 2011. Hey, there's the Jets. They barely make it. Nobody's got a bigger postseason drought than the Jets. And look, this is a league where, yeah, everybody makes it at least once every 5 years. Even the Lions make it as bad and sorry as they are. The Raiders, when things were awful for them, they made it this year and they had to get rid of their head coach midway through the season. But the Jets, it's a decade and counting. They haven't made the playoffs. It was so disheartening to see that, Mike, because, I knew it. I knew we had the biggest drought, and it was a couple of years more than everybody else. And I'm like, okay. But then to see everybody jump together and then all the way down at the end, it's, hey, Jets, can you hear us? All the way down there to 2010. We're up here in 2017 in the playoffs. You okay? You want us to get you anything from the playoffs? You want a drink? You need some snacks like peanut butter pretzels? Anything? No? Okay, let us know. It really was disheartening to see that. I can't tell you. Just, man, my team is terrible.
What do you got? 14 times the Jets have made the playoffs in their 56 seasons.
Yeah.
You go back to that run. I mean, that certainly was the Mark Sanchez era, budding broadcasting legend here with Fox. Full respect. His most famous play, played often on the show, certainly part of NFL lore. But yeah, I mean, that's a tough run, and it just kind of shows that you can't get out of your own way sometimes, right? No matter how many times you shuffle to and shuffle through coaches, GMs, whatever, if the wrong people are making decisions, you ain't getting any better. You think you'd stumble into something. You think. But, you know, you might as well pull out the 20-sided Dungeons & Dragons die to make your decision then as you flow. You know, I said it. There's four organizations that you point to. Packers, Ravens, Steelers, Patriots. Figure out what they're doing. And with the Jets, you've been staring across at the Patriots all these years, and you've learned nothing.
It's so terrible. I mean, look, there are 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 teams. 21 different teams have made the playoffs the last 2 years. Okay, 21, the two-thirds of the league in the last 2 years have made the playoffs, right? Even when you get back to the dregs of the NFL and the Lions and the Giants and the Jaguars, they're all sitting there in 2016, 2017 going, yeah, we made it. Yeah, we're good. Hey, we're good. What are you talking about? Even the Broncos, who made it in 2015, were coming off of Super Bowls and winning the Super Bowl. And then you go, 2014, 2013, 2012, 2011, nothing, 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 nothing. And there's the Jets all by themselves. All by themselves.
Sorry, buddy. I mean, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Robert Saleh, I mean, they played hard.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson, Michael Carter.
Okay, one thing before you get to Baker.
Elijah Moore. I mean, you got three guys that I'm kind of fired up about.
Right, but you got to help me with one thing. Do not sit here and tell me, hey, Zach Wilson's going to be good. Hey, no interceptions his last five games. Stop with that. You know what else he didn't do in the last five games is throw touchdowns. He threw three touchdowns in the final five games. But all you're hearing from the Jets is, oh, look how good. Look at the growth he had because he didn't throw a pick in the last five games.
You know what he didn't do? He took better care of the football.
Yeah, you know what?
The long road begins with the first damn step, Smith. Why don't you take something nice? Your daughter came on and gave you a great intro in hour one. And then what did you do? You went after her diction. You said she didn't hold the best friend long enough. I mean, all of those things. Critiques and problems. Same thing here. You got baby steps for your young rookie quarterback who was absolutely abysmal through the first half of the season.
He didn't throw a pick in the last five games. You know what else he did in the last five games? He averaged 150 yards passing, and his quarterback rating was 77, and the Jets won one out of those five games. He never led the Jets to 30 points in a game once. But just sit here and cherry pick your stats and go, he didn't throw a pick the last five games. Great. That's like me saying, I'm eating healthy. Why? I haven't had anything chocolate in the last 25 minutes. Well, what about in the last 3 hours? No. But the last 25 minutes I haven't had chocolate. Yeah, 3 hours ago I had half a piece of cheesecake and a chocolate bar. But the last 25 minutes I haven't had anything to eat. It's like,
hey, he was three times the rookie of the week.
Oh, this is when everybody else was ineligible for some reason.
How come Rashawn Slater didn't have that and a bunch of others? How is he not eligible for Offensive Rookie of the Year? Bunch of dopes, right, and voting for those awards. I'm calling you out, NFL and NFL writers and whoever else is deciding who goes on that graphic. Dopes.
Boy. Well, one other quarterback, just don't sit here and tell me he didn't throw any picks the last five games.
Go Cats.
One other quarterback who I know this shocked an entire fan base today was when Browns general manager Andrew Berry, giving his state of the team going forward, and clearly the big question was about Baker Mayfield and his horrendous play this year and what's going to happen next year, when Andrew Berry told everybody, oh, hey, yeah, Baker? Oh, dude, he's so back in 22.
Do you expect him to be your starting quarterback next season?
Yeah, we fully expect, you know, Baker to be our starter and bounce back. So I think Kevin mentioned this yesterday. So, yes.
Wow. Went on to say how good he played last year. Injuries really hurt him this year. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you exactly why this is going on right now for the Browns. Because right now, Browns fans are going, why? Other NFL fans are going,
what's he
going
to say?
Why?
Hell no, he was trash.
Well, it's one thing to say, hey, he's on a team, we expect him to come back and be a part of the team. It's another thing to say, oh, he's going to be our guy next year. First things first, don't tell me he was good before the injuries, because if he was really hurt bad, he wouldn't be playing. All right, the fact he was playing, guys play hurt, quarterbacks play hurt. Yes, he's got to have surgery. I get it. But if he was really bad, he wouldn't be playing. That's the bottom line. All right, so don't sit here and tell me, oh, yeah, he was great. What happened is that Cleveland is stuck because you can't Darnold him by trading him somewhere else because the rest of the league isn't saying this is Kevin Stefanski's fault. Last year, the rest of the league said, boy, this is probably Adam Gase's fault. He's terrible. And yes, Adam Gase was bad. But they're saying, oh, Darnold, we get him away from Adam Gase, he's going to be great. Well, now it turns out what? Oh, maybe it wasn't Adam Gase, and I told you Sam Darnold stinks, and Sam Darnold stinks. But at least there was the image of, well, get him away from Gase and see, right? Gase is really bad. No one's saying that about Mayfield. No one watched him play this year and said, you know what? He needs to be on my team, and a change of scenery is going to get it done. The Browns are stuck, so they have to lean into Mayfield. No one in the league thinks that, hey, we're going to bring him in and get him. This is a hard message for the fans right away who really want some kind of change and go, boy, we have a great roster and we got to go back in with Baker Mayfield next year. But I'll tell you what, Baker Mayfield comes back, it's easy. I'll tell you exactly, Browns fans, I can save you the heartache of a whole season. Next year will be just like this year. You'll be 8-9-ish and Baker Mayfield will be just kind of like this because after 4 years, you know who a guy is as a quarterback and it will be, okay, now we're going to move on from him next year. It's going to be just like this. I get it. It's hard to hear this, to think that I need to hit fast forward on the calendar to get to next January before I think my team is going to change, but this is the reality. I'm sorry it stinks, but I got to be realistic. The next year for the Browns is going to be just like this because this is who Baker Mayfield is. So there you go. I've just saved you all the trouble of the fall football season and the off season. So go buy your Cleveland Guardians gear and get ready and go to those games.
Comes back to the idea that, I mean, in between his words, you hear the we're open for offers. If you think Baker from 2020 is the guy you want, certainly the potential is there. And how much you put into Mary Kay Cabot's reporting is a whole other thing. But as we sit here, you know, it's still very early January, just the 11th. What else are you going to say? It's like LeBron James, you know, the story we talked about earlier of comparing their squad to the Bucks of a year ago. What's he going to say? Nah, we're screwed. We're barely going to get in, and then, I don't know, we'll see. I mean, he's got to pump it up. He's got to find the analogy. He's got to have fun with it and, you know, tell you that hope is alive. Likewise here, like, what are they going to say? Nah, we're going to have a competition. Baker's a Jag. But, I mean, no, I mean, you got to try to sell him. You got to make it pretty and say, look what he did last year when everybody was healthy and everything was rolling. No, that you got to at least sell. Now, whether anybody's buying, be it other teams or your fan base, that's a whole other story. But internally, you've got to present that united front that, yeah, we know the direction in which we're headed. And you know what? Things change. Opportunities change. Quarterback might become available you didn't expect at a lower asking price. And remember, Baker's only on the books for the Sam Darnold money, which with the salary cap going up isn't prohibitive for another team that may have a young quarterback that they're not completely decided on. Plenty of activity still to come. Not a bad presser. Not a bad presser. Hope is still alive.
No, it's not. I'm telling you, that's what it. Fast forward. Hey, enjoy the Cavs. Enjoy the Guardians. Get all the Indians gear on clearance at MLBShop.com. No, do all of that. All of it. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you. Twitter at Abata Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Oh, lots of fun coming up next. Rich Ornberger stops by to break down all the big news in the NFL with us. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
No. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, joining us now on the hotline, to break down everything big in the National Football League.
Go
you can follow him on Twitter, at Ornberger. You know who this is. Former NFL star, current host, Extra 1360, Fox Sports Radio, San Diego State Football, NBC San Diego for that. He does everything. I could be here for 20 minutes, all the jobs he's got. Rich Ornberger, what's happening, buddy? How are you, man?
Jason, Mike, I'm exhausted from just the intro. I should probably be sleeping more. I should probably be resting on my way to my second retirement. But no, I'm here with you, fine gentlemen, and I will continue to do this until they put me in a shallow grave and forget about me.
There you go. 6 days a week with Steve Hartman. That'll keep you going.
Yeah. Yeah, or the opposite. Maybe it'll drill me into the ground sooner. Either way, I'm going to stick with it for now.
See, now I know you're going to be on my side. We talked a few minutes ago about Mike Tomlin, how earlier today he said he dozed off watching the Raiders Chargers, and it's like, oh my God, but everything was at stake for you and your football future this year, and he dozed off. I go, hey, when you get older, when you're 50, I could be watching something really exciting, which doesn't mean I'm not going to close my eyes on the couch. It happens.
Yeah, everybody knows that that nap with your eyes open, you know, or you're just so bleary-eyed tired. And by the way, I mean, that's a hardworking guy who worked hard earlier that day. So you have those moments where even if something's important, even if it's in the middle of a final exam, if you've had a late enough night the night before, sometimes that head hits the table and the number two pencil bounces off the floor before you come to. So Mikey Tomlin took a snooze, but he hopefully he's not sleeping next week. He's going to be even busier than he was a week ago.
Did you get naps in meetings? Did you get naps in when you were playing?
It was impossible not to with certain coaches. We had a coach at Penn State who his voice was verbal NyQuil. I hear a lot of people these days, they talk about like their issues with sleep. It's like, oh my gosh, I just can't get on a schedule, and my mind reels. I wish this man came out with a podcast, because I would suggest it to everybody. I mean, you'd be 10 toes up in no time, baby. But it happened.
All right, so Tomlin falls asleep on the end of that game. I know you didn't. How 48 hours now to digest the furor of it all? You know, what do you make of that final couple of minutes? And you know, as a former Charger, Brandon Staley overall.
Brandon Staley, I think, is a really bright coach. I think he's doing a really great job building a culture. I think there are things that he's going to learn from this season when he has a little bit more distance and he can look at it retrospectively and not so presently. And I think some of his decision-making will absolutely be moments that he reviews and discusses with his staff should he open it up to conversation. And maybe makes different decisions in different places. Situational football, it's difficult to learn. It's an experiential thing. The guys who catch on to it the soonest with the most talented teams typically look like the best head coaches the earliest. And he's got a very talented team, and I think they made up for potentially some bad decisions along the way. But a good team, you know, can't fool everybody all the time. And the Raiders are also a good team, and they had a good game plan. And you know, look, there's officials out there who are going to call certain penalties, and you have to adjust as the game goes. I think that obviously reared its head in the final 30 seconds or so of that game, and it's not going to be the last time. But if he can learn from certain things that happen along the way, he's going to be better for it.
Hey, you mentioned head coaches. You know, we watched the axe drop yesterday for many coaches across the league, and Joe Judge getting let go today. Any of the moves surprise you, or were they all expected for you?
Brian Flores was the big surprise, and I think, I can sort of almost feel you guys nodding as they say this, because it is, I mean, it's just, it's bizarre, frankly. It's bizarre that you would let go of a coach who's winning the way he is with, in my opinion, a subpar quarterback and a defense that only really gelled once he entered the building in South Beach. So this was, and again, you want to talk about things to learn. When he has a little distance and he's not thinking about things so presently, maybe Brian Flores has some regrets and some learning to do from the office politics side of the things. Because, look, even though you think you should have it your way and you know that your way is the right way, not every organization is going to give you full power like the Patriots gave Bill Belichick, like the Houston Texans gave Billy O'Brien. You know, sometimes you're going to have to work as a co-star on this thing. And their general manager and he, from sourced reports, sound like they didn't see eye to eye often. And maybe included in that discussion or argument or disagreement was the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick suddenly was benched last season and Tua came in. You know, maybe that was a little bit of the general manager saying, I want my guy in there, and getting in the owner's ear and kind of going over the top of his head coach. Yeah, I could see those sort of things ruining relationships, but as a head coach in this league, it's as much a political position as it is a coaching position. So you got to be able to play well in the sandbox, and maybe Brian Flores wasn't always able to do that, but he's a talented coach. I loved playing for him the short time we overlapped in New England, and he's gonna end up becoming a head coach somewhere real soon.
Perhaps even in this cycle. Rich Hornberger, our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio, a man of a million jobs, a master of the grill, and the wrangler of young children. You find him on Twitter at Hornberger, Hornberger, and listen to him each morning alongside Steve Hartman, brand new show there. Follow them on Twitter at Hartman and Rich O. Nice and easy, Rich O. So, Rich, as we get to the tournament, number one seeds, Green Bay, Tennessee. You got a dark horse in the field that came in. Do you like? Can Derek Carr make some noise with Bisaccia? What are you thinking for this coming week?
I don't think that the Raiders extend this run, because my dark horse is the team they're playing. I really like the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals got to rest their starting quarterback the final week of the season. And maybe that was necessity based. Maybe he was a little banged up from that final matchup, but he finished the season about as strong as you possibly can. And that offense, it's clicking on all cylinders. I mean, look, are there reservations about an inexperienced quarterback in the playoffs? Yeah, but we could say the same thing about Derek Carr. You know, mm-hmm. Derek Carr, for as long as he's played in this league, he's playing his first postseason game alongside Joe Burrow. So if there's a team that I could see making noise, can I see them in the Super Bowl? Maybe if I squint, but I could see them winning, maybe making an AFC championship game appearance if they get on a run here.
We would get a lot of flashback video of Boomer Esiason.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
That'd be good.
Well, it was just the 40th anniversary of the Freezer Bowl yesterday, the Chargers-Bengals AFC Championship game back in 1981. Just had that big
beautiful
anniversary. Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, Rich isn't even old enough for that.
No.
He's a kid.
Unfortunately how young I am. I played in Boomer Esiason's high school all-star game in New York. So he was retired on radio and hosting high school all-star games by the time I was coming out.
Oh, that's the best. Hey, you played a long time ago. That's awesome. Hey, can I play in your all-star game? That's fantastic. Here's the thing, and they say this about athletes. Oh, you finish playing, and oh, then it gets easy for you. Dude, you've just started getting up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to do radio this week. You're working harder doing radio now than you probably did when you played.
Yeah, there's no question about it. If I could get in a time machine. No, you know what? To be perfectly honest with you, for the most part, this job, it doesn't feel like work. What's interesting about football is, as fun as it looks sometimes, like the meetings you guys were discussing earlier, you know, working out every day even when you don't want to and you'd rather be doing just about anything else. I mean, it's tough to complain about it, because you're compensated so unbelievably well. But you know, I don't envy the work these guys have to put in. I do envy that feeling when you run out of a tunnel during a playoff game or a home game where everybody is there. But Yeah, in terms of the work, we're doing the right gig, boys. This is this is all right by me.
You can follow him on Twitter. That is at Orenberger. That is at Orenberger, O-H-R-N-B-E-R-G-E-R. So now what? Now do you go to bed? Like what's your thing now? You go into bed like it, you know, like you're 95 years old. Oh, you have to go to bed after the 7 o'clock news. Like, what's your thing now?
I'm already in bed. Okay, Jason? my wife's mad at me. I'm like right now. She's mad at me. I'm shouting. You guys got my blood pressure up. I just want to go to sleep and then do my radio show at some ungodly hour before the sunrise tomorrow.
Rich is just laying in bed with the phone, and he's got the nightshade on his head. As soon as he hangs up the phone, he puts the eye patch over. Says, "Okay, go to bed. Good night. I'm falling asleep right now."
I'm done with these jerks. It's time. It's time. Mr. Sandman, pay me a visit. Thank you.
Oh, former NFL star. Check him out 6 to 9 a.m. Extra 1360 in San Diego alongside Steve Hartman. I'll tell you, Rich, let me tell you a story about what happened to me last night. I'm Steve Hartman. And don't forget.
All about Rich. His Heisman vote, 4 hours a day.
Rich was the Thorpe and Martone Award winner given to Nassau County's most outstanding player and most outstanding lineman back in 2003 in the great state of New York. Rich, thanks so much, man. Enjoy. Get some sleep. We'll talk to you later on.
Gentlemen, it was an honor. We'll do it again soon.
See you, my friend. See you Sunday.
He hung up the phone and looked at his wife and said, "I'm sorry. That we're done. I'm done. I'm going to bed. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm done."
Ah, it's my guy. I helped feed information his way on Sunday mornings when he and Hartman are doing some Red Zone radio on Fox Sports Radio. So
wait. Now you're saying they can't do the job themselves?
No. I'm saying they're trying to do eight monitors, so they can't. They don't get to see everything that happens in each game.
He can't
so
do
here's
the job.
A little. I get to be the. The voice behind the, hey, this guy just got hurt.
There's Harmon, who says two guys can't do the job. I have to do your job for them.
I didn't say that at all.
No,
just
I'm going to
I get to see Rich on Sundays, and he's a joy because you can go in if there's something you see odd in a game and say, all right, explain to me this formation and how this works.
No, anybody listening says, it's Harmon saying, these guys.
I also want to know
why. I do their job, okay?
For next time, we'll ask him if he stole anything from Tom Brady after playing with him in New England.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hello.
And, they always say that history repeats itself. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not. But in this case, it absolutely is. Marquee game in the NBA tonight. Memphis beats the Warriors. Suddenly, Klay Thompson's return has hit like page 17. The Grizzlies win it 116-108. Look, Klay starts. He scores 14 points in 20 minutes. Steph has 27. He has a triple-double. But it doesn't matter because what happened is that the Memphis Grizzlies are led by the guy that has led them since the moment he was drafted. Ja Morant goes for 29, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. He does it all. And the Grizzlies are now one of those teams that go from, hey, they're a nice story, to, wow, they are a dominant team. And, you know, the funny thing is, Mike, we mentioned this a little bit at the end of the show last night, because with every passing day, you see the highlight. The Ja Morant block from Sunday is going to wind up being his personal highlight of the season.
Can't wait to get that top shot moment, let me tell you.
It's really interesting how the Zion Williamson, Ja Morant draft and subsequent storylines are eerily similar to Greg Oden and Kevin Durant right? Both guys taken 1-2 in the draft, both incredibly talented. Incredibly talented big man goes ahead, and what happens? Greg Oden, as good as he was, couldn't stay on the court because he got hurt, and look at the career Kevin Durant has had. And it's one of those age-old where you go, boy, you really wish it happened different for Greg Oden. Had the Sonics not been able to make him, all these different things, and that's how it's unfolded. And you could say it's the same thing 2.0. Zion's played better than Greg Oden when he's been on the court, but he's hurt every year. He's still injured now. Every single year, going back to his senior year of high school, he's been hurt and missed a lot of time. And Ja Morant is just dominating the NBA. I mean, you see how these storylines are starting to look eerily similar. Now, I hope Zion can fix it out and get healthy and keep his weight down so he doesn't get injured more and is able to stay in shape and do this. But he's got to be able to stay on the floor. And Ja Morant is just like, hey, I'm taking off, man. I mean, now, if you had to redo that draft, clearly you would take Kevin Durant number one. If you're redoing the draft again, aren't you taking Ja Morant number one now? I'm pretty sure you are.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they had Lonzo Ball there as their point guard. So you moved on to the other position, and obviously looking at the power and raw athleticism, we talk about torque and the wear with the size of Zion's frame, that it would become an issue. I don't know that anybody would have expected. It's kind of like when we talk about quarterbacks, right, and trying to figure out what is the shelf life of a guy who's going to tuck and run a bunch. Well, you got about 8 good years out of Cam Newton before his body started to betray him, right? And you can go down the line, and the question becomes for some of these other players, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, guys where that's a big part of their game, you know, where that line is and how much they transition and adapt their games and get away maybe from taking some of those brutal hits and the extra wear on the body for that. With Ja Morant, man, this guy's a pogo stick. I mean, the athleticism, they've won 20 of 24 now. Just an absolutely ridiculous run. He had a knee injury earlier in the year, and there was a little bit of concern for a moment. It's like, no, just give it time. And then he's come back, and he's been an absolute monster, and you've seen what this team is. They're dealing with some other injuries, but so far hasn't really had any detrimental effect. Other guys stepping into roles and giving them big minutes. And to your point about redrafting, yeah, I guess you look at Lonzo and his couple years there, and it's like, okay, that was fine and good. But yeah, we would still draft this guy. There's no question. Man, look, Zion, when he's on the court, is a marvel, right? He's a highlight reel in and of himself, and some of the moves in and around the basket are just crazy as can be. But Morant's showing you the leadership qualities and all-round play that's everything for the league in crowning another guy, but certainly just night in, night out, you know what kind of minutes you're getting.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll take you a step further, because Ja Morant's going to win the NBA MVP this year.
Could be.
And it's not even going to be a big debate, because he has everything you need to win the MVP. The breathtaking highlights, the narrative, here's a guy becoming a superstar, look at what he can do. He's got a winning team, because you got to have a winning team, and Memphis is winning, right? And they're playing really well. He's got a great image. He's got the respect of everybody in the league. There's nobody, he's overrated. He's got a universal great image, but most importantly, what the NBA loves to do is you officially crown a new superstar when you can give somebody brand new the MVP. And that's what's going to happen this year. The NBA can say, you are officially welcomed into the big-time superstar club. You're going to be the MVP. Look, it's a storyline that cuts through. Are you really going to sit back and go, boy, I'd love to give Steph the MVP again, as good as the Warriors are playing? No. Well, we got it. Well, Kevin Durant's playing really well. Been there, done that, right? For all of that, been there, done that, right? Steph Curry, the run was the end of last year, where people were like, we got to give it to Steph. They're in 10th place. We can't give it to Steph. Oh, we got to give it to Steph. No. Hey, Ja Morant cuts through the clutter, and his storyline this year is better than anybody's, and what he's done in lifting the Memphis Grizzlies into the 4 spot in the West. I mean, they're on the Utah Jazz heels. They've won 10 in a row. They could jump into the mix of being in one of the top 2 seeds by the time it's all said and done. Ja Morant's going to win, and we'll get to this point later on in the season. We're going to go, yeah, he's the MVP. Is there a debate? Well, There's other guys having good years, but boy, Ja Morant has arrived. He's going to win the, I'm telling you right now, he's going to win the MVP, and it's going to be just like last year where it's like, oh, Jokic is the MVP? Yeah, all, everybody thinks it's Jokic. That's how it's going to be for Ja Morant. Oh, Morant? Yeah, everybody thinks it's Ja Morant. He's going to be the MVP.
Well, let's see. As we sit here right now, most valuable player odds, Steph Curry, your current leader in the clubhouse, Durant, Giannis, Jokic, LeBron at 30-1, and then Ja Morant right there with him. DeMar DeRozan sitting at 35.
Oh, boy.
You jumped off DeMar DeRozan.
I could, but
that's
the thing is,
look, I've got to make sure to point out to you, because last week you were all over DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, no, no.
I don't know if you were just sucking up to me because it was
our first week back from vacation. No, 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 no. No, look, DeRozan's terrific, but when it's DeRozan and LaVine, is DeRozan going to get enough separation?
Yeah, I mean, they're both top 10 scoring.
Yeah. Yeah. Ja Morant's the only guy. He's doing it, so okay, he's going to get it. That's going to be look, DeRozan should be up there, trust me, but is he really going to get the votes over LaVine? Are they going to say, well, they're both really good? No. Ja Morant's going to be the MVP, I'm telling you right now.
Book it. 30-1. Let's go.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome. Coming up next, I can't believe something is trending on Twitter. I'm scared to look at it, but I'm going to click on it, and we'll tell you what it is next.
I'm very, very excited about it.
No, no, it's not Tebow. It's something that's possibly worse than that, Fox.
I'm so excited.